Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Local story which has gone national, which seems pretty ridiculous, is about a basketball player in a pickup game. We've all played pickup hoops. Story out of Sterling, Virginia. Somebody, it actually just kind of evolved on Twitter and social media, but somebody tweeted out, "Today, for the first time in my life, I experienced somebody call the police because they got fouled hard in basketball." That was shared more than 28,000 times on Twitter. In his account, players in the gym were stunned. People said that they thought the person was joking until they saw him at the front desk on the phone calling the police.
I've played with that guy before.
You have?
Yeah. All the guys that were in that game, they kind of run in the same circles as the guys I played with.
You play with the guy who called the police?
This guy, both? Right here, who's in that picture.
Yeah. The guy with the arm sleeves.
Is that the guy who called the police? I've played with that guy before. Yeah.
What is your impression of him now that you have that inside information?
I didn't know him very well. I just when I saw the story and they released that photo, I recognized
those stories are so dumb.
And then all my buddies started texting me. There was a huge text thread yesterday with the guys I play hoops with.
Yeah,
and they were all talking about it.
Well, they're so dumb. I didn't even pay attention to it. I can only imagine that there were like real threats going on.
I gotta believe something else was behind it. And there have been times when I've played pickup hoops, like for about 6 or 7 years, I played 3 days a week. Now, generally speaking, it was a really good group of guys. And nothing really happened. But there were times when things got heated.
Of course.
And people get bitter, and sometimes you think it might go outside. And I've been in other situations, not in that game, where I'm in less familiar territory, where you don't want to trash talk. Because right. You just don't know what's on the other side of it.
Yeah. You don't know how it could escalate.
But the story is, how about that? Yeah,
exactly.
But the story here is that he got fouled too hard. And he called 911 and he was complaining to Loudoun County cops that he got fouled too hard. Is that the story?
That's what it appears to.
He basically thought he was assaulted on the basketball
court. They were playing at LA Fitness in Sterling, Virginia.
Dulles Town Center, yep.
And apparently it was a hard foul during a game, and the guy decided to call the police.
Well, that guy definitely gets called the P word a lot now when he plays hoops. Yeah, how could you not?
But I'm with EB. You have to. My guess is that there was something behind. Like he was afraid to go outside,
right?
Because if he goes outside after the foul or something, then maybe some guy.
How about that?
Right. That would be my only guess. It wasn't like a Richie Incognito situation where the guy was chucking dumbbells at our guy that was just like working out.
I don't think it got to that level.
That's like a real call the cop situation.
It's almost a lock. He got fouled, and then he called ball, and then the guy who fouled him said, "You want to see a foul? I'll take you outside and beat that ass," or something like that.
That's what happened.
That's a lock.
That was
and then
the
he felt and threatened and called the cops.
Maybe. Oh, by the way, the guy in the arm sleeve is not the guy who called the police.
Maybe he was the fouler.
Not. Okay, so that's...
He's the fouler.
He's the fouler.
This is the guy who fouled.
He's the Ricky.
The other guy's the foulee. Okay.
There's a little short guy in the background.
Right. Yeah. See, I didn't know the guy. I thought that might be the guy who called, but that's the guy who I knew.
Apparently when police showed up, both men admitted they fouled each other.
Oh. Well, then play should resume.
And a report ultimately was not filed, according to the police. Their incident report, management then gave him a chance to engage in a civil game or risk losing gym access for the remainder of the day.
Don't want to do that.
Quite a penalty.
I just find it stunning.
Cops probably thought it was a joke.
The cops had to be like, are you serious?
You called us
away from a real potential call?
You ruined a good donut.
For this?
Well, I just find it hilarious that Jason knows everyone in Northern Virginia. Like, literally, if something happens,
he's the mayor.
But also, there's not that many people that are, you know, in our age or this guy was 28 that are playing pickup hoops.
I've lived out there so long and played so much hoops out there. A story like that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Where I know someone. Did you guys see the video? This happened in Las Vegas of the cop that was chasing the two murder suspects.
I did not.
In the black SUV, and he was shooting through the window.
Hold on, the cop was shooting, or were they shooting?
Yeah, yeah. They shot at him.
Yeah.
Okay, they were suspected of murdering someone, you know, some 25-year-old guy somewhere in the city.
Okay.
All right. They recognize the car, and the cops start chasing this SUV. It's like an infinity SUV.
Yeah.
The suspects are shooting at the cops.
Okay.
So the cop takes out his gun. He's shooting through the windshield. It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
You got to see that video.
He shot but the windshield was already broken?
No.
He shot through it to break it.
Yes, he shot through the window to break it.
While he was driving.
While he was driving the car.
That's a manly man right there. That's
a manly
cop.
Aren't you exposing yourself big time when you do that?
Well, they were shooting at him.
Yeah, but you break your own windshield. I don't know. Really exposed.
I'd like an officer to call if you saw that video and tell me if that's
standard protocol.
Standard protocol, or if they're shooting at you, you do anything you can to take them down.
I guess that's the case. Yeah, if they start shooting at you, all bets are off. But I would think that would just expose you.
But
yeah, I
want to
keep my windshield intact as much as possible.
He probably shoots 5 bullets through the windshield, and then he reloads. And they start shooting out of the side of the window.
Right. What was the ultimate resolution?
They killed one. And the other one got. I mean, he was shot, but he didn't die. But they killed one of them.
The suspects.
The suspects. Yes.
Was the driver?
I think the driver was killed. Yes.
It was where? In L.A.?
No, it was Vegas.
In Vegas.
Yeah. Check it out. It's unbelievable.
You know, you don't really think of Vegas that way, but
there's some knuckleheads over in Vegas.
It's probably a pretty tough police department to work in. You know what I mean? It's probably pretty busy.
And it's hard to see what's going on in Vegas when you're trapped inside of a casino.
People never see the sunlight until 6 in the morning.
Yeah, but I don't really think of violent crime in Vegas, but maybe you should. It's probably a pretty friggin' active police community.
Isn't that where Tupac or Biggie got shot?
That's true.
You're right.
It's a riveting
Tupac
video.
One.
Tupac was murdered in Vegas.
Yeah, Biggie shot in L.A.
Maybe.
L.A., yeah. Riveting video.
They fired, the suspects fired 34 shots at the police officers while they were driving.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Nuts.
It's incredible.
I'm watching the vid right now.
I would like if there was a cop that saw that, give us a call.
Is this where he's
going to
pull out the gun?
800-636-1067.
These guys are, they're nuts.
Yeah, I know.
God bless them. But if you want to be a cop and deal with this, like this is going to work.
I think
this could happen at any time.
Friggin' war.
Any day.
This could happen at any moment.
Yep. By the way, we learned, I don't know if this is a good gig or a bad gig. Cakes yesterday or the day before, we're at Homewood Suites waiting for our cars, and there's a police officer who's been there for 2 days. So I'd seen him the night before and talked to him, and then I asked him, you know, just started some small talk, and then Cakes all of a sudden says, "Do you usually have tougher gigs?" And he goes, "No, I'm here."
I was shocked by this.
Oh, he's just security there?
I walked in, and he looks like he's ready to go on the front lines. Like, he is head to toe in black. He's got a black do-rag on with a skull on it.
Yep.
He's got a badge that says Special Police, gun, the whole nine.
Or he's got mace. He's got it all.
I've seen him.
I asked him, I said, are you a D.C. cop? He goes, "No, I only protect the hotel." He's like, "I step outside of the hotel premises, I have no powers."
Really?
I was like, what? I was like, you're just a Homewood Suites cop? I mean, he's the most badass hotel cop
and
I've ever seen.
He has like weapons and everything, the whole nine.
Yeah. Weapons. Yeah.
He's got everything.
He's ready for it to go down.
I wonder if all the hotels have that around
here. I was like, you go to Cava, you have no powers? He's like, zippy. Nothing.
Now, does he always work there or just because of the All-Star festivities?
No, he's there a lot.
He is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm shocked by that.
My sister told me she works, like I say, 2 blocks from here. They were all told they had to hire extra security. They had to take all these sort of maybe even training for like terrorist stuff or whatever because of the All-Star festivities.
I mean, usually you think of like a hotel or like a mall cop. I mean, they might have a flashlight and they're very non-intimidating. And they're riding around on a Segway.
So what does his uniform
Paul
look
Blart.
Like?
Black,
all black.
All black.
Head to toe.
Right. And he's wearing a vest. Like Cake said, it's kind of an intimidating
vest.
Look. He's kind of a...
He looks like those guys like in front of the Navy Yard.
He's a burly guy, and he's got all that stuff on, and he's just...
So can he shoot somebody sort of within his rights, like on the property?
Yes, but if he goes one store over...
If he goes to Cava, he's got
no
jurisdiction.
If he goes to Cava and orders a chicken bowl, and something goes down, he has no power.
Right.
But if someone tries to rob the front desk at the Homewood Suites, they'll kill you in 2 seconds.
Yeah. And you're not going to rob it because those dudes, they're standing right in front of the front desk or in the lobby. I mean, mm-hmm. You'd be an idiot to rob that spot.
All right, let's go to Brandon in D.C. Brandon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junks, what's going on?
Hey,
so I'm a military security forces officer,
nice.
Which is basically our version of law enforcement in the military. And I've had a lot of extensive training with all branches of the military, security related and protecting things and all that good stuff. And that's not standard protocol. Yeah. Shooting out of a window, during a chase. As far as what you were talking about is exposing myself, you're exposed whether the windshield is there or not. The windshield is not giving
it's not
you
really
the
protecting
firing
you.
Shots. At, no, it's not Brandon, protecting you at you, all. You,
Brandon, did you see the video?
I did. I just watched it just now before you put me on, and that's no, that's not standard protocol. Well, I don't.
The mayor, and the chief of police are calling the guy a hero because he took him down.
Yeah, I mean, does he get in trouble for that? Like, what's the downside of what he did?
So the big deal with firing your weapon at any time is what we call knowing your backdrop. So meaning, is there a possibility that you have anything behind that individual that you're firing shots at? And if you do, you are taking a huge, huge risk at, you know, receiving some punishment for that. Right. But in a city like L.A., I'm not surprised that
Vegas.
The mayor applauded him.
Yeah.
And I mean, Las Vegas, I'm sorry. That he's not getting awarded and everything, and so that doesn't shock me in the civilian world. In the military world, no way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brandon.
Well, I mean, they were racing through neighborhoods.
I mean, at one point during the video, I'm not sure how fast he's going, but he's racing through the neighborhood. He takes both hands off the wheel, and he's steering, like, with his wrists.
And he's shooting.
And he's shooting at the same
time.
That's
incredible.
I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Join us right now on the Matt's Warehouse Hotlines. Eddie Matz, ESPN senior baseball writer. Hey, Eddie.
Good morning, guys. What's up?
So the All-Star game was, I think, a success here in D.C., but so much talk about what's happening with Manny Machado and beyond. Can you start with that? Is Machado going to be a Dodger?
Sure sounds like it. It sounds like that's been the case since, I don't know when, maybe like Sunday when the Orioles lifted him from that game where it was raining and they did it because of the weather, but they didn't really do it because of the weather. Like everyone I talked to yesterday between Manny and Matt Kemp and Kenley Jansen, that was kind of like the subtext of everything they were saying was like, yeah, we already know he's coming. We just can't tell you yet.
Right.
So I feel like it's just a matter of like someone's got like the text or the launch codes have been authenticated. They just need to push the button and then it's done.
Well, where did the old Phillies thing that was sort of in the middle of all this? I know I came in here on Monday. I thought he was going to the Phillies.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too, although the Dodgers were always in play. But you never know with these things. It's quite possible that, you know, when information gets leaked and you hear from sources, there's always a reason, right? And you never know if someone's playing someone else against somebody. We do know that the Phillies front office has ties to the Orioles. A lot of those guys used to be in Baltimore. I'm not saying that they were doing that to, like, help the Orioles and leverage the Dodgers and get them to pump up their bid. But there's always some level of manipulation going on. So it's impossible to say how exactly that went down. But whether or not the Phillies got him this time, there's still a really good chance that they might get him this offseason. Of course,
right.
He might stay in L.A. if in fact that is where he's going right now.
So the Dodgers got off to a bad start, but they've been really hot over the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. And they've got a half-game lead over the Diamondbacks. So that, you know, where does now Chris Taylor, who they had at short, can move to second. And they've got a legit all-star shortstop now to replace Seager, who went down early with the arm injury. So they've got, you know, they've got a ridiculous lineup now if you add Machado, assuming this happens, of course. Kershaw's back in healthy. Stripling's an all-star. I mean, it seems like they've got all the pieces. So where do you put the Dodgers? If Machado does join the Dodgers, where do you put the Dodgers in that whole, in the National League order?
It certainly makes them a whole lot better, but the Cubs have been coming on strong. They statistically have the best record in the National League right now, not even close, by a couple games. Phillies are still playing really well. You know, the thing with the Dodgers and Manny is, yeah, he makes the lineup better, but I don't know if you guys have actually watched him play shortstop this year. He's okay.
Right.
Not great.
Yeah.
And I know it's not like they had a great shortstop defensively there to begin with, which is the reason why I think they'd be so psyched to have him. But I've talked to several executives and scouts who are like, it's kind of like the emperor's new clothes with Manny. Like, pretty much everyone I talked to said I would way rather have him as a third baseman than a shortstop, which confirms what I've seen with my eyes. And if you buy into advanced metrics, he's on pace to have like a historically bad season at shortstop. He's on pace for like minus 40 runs saved, which we haven't seen in like ever, like in a couple decades. But again, the bat plays, he's still an okay shortstop. What's interesting to me is, though, if they move things around and put Taylor at second, or not sure how they're going to do it, where does Max Muncy play? He's kind of been the jack of all trades, and he's been super with the bat. I'm sure they'll find a place for him, but I mean, everyone should have such problems, but it's going to be a little confusing to figure out who goes where.
Yeah, they've just got, and they got too many outfielders, too. I mean, Muncy's been playing a little outfield, but he's been playing infield. They just got a bunch of guys that can insert. And then in the offseason, it doesn't seem like LA would want Machado long term because they've got Seager coming back and they've got Turner at third. So where do you put Machado if you want to sign him long term?
Yeah, you wouldn't think, although Turner isn't. He's not a young guy anymore, and he always seems to be dinged up. So there's something to be said for insurance there. Maybe, I don't know, it's conceivable they could maybe move Turner to first, but then what do you do with, you got Bellinger? I don't know. But so, yeah, I would still think the Phillies would be one of the prime contenders this offseason. And then, of course, there's the Yankees, and they have a similar problem, right? Because they got Andujar at third, who they love. And Torres, and Gregorius and Torres. Every Yankee fan I ran into at the All-Star break, that was my question. Would you rather have Bryce, Harper, neither, both? And most of them were like, most of them wanted Manny over Bryce. And then some of them were even like, we're fine. We like our left side of the infield. We're good. Like, yeah. We're okay.
All right, so sticking in the East with the Phillies and the Braves and the Nats, you know, obviously the Nats have been disappointing. I mean, no one expected them to be 48-48, not after, you know, close to 100 games. That's no small sample size. I mean, that's a lot of games to be played. And you know, they've had the injuries, and Bryce is struggling. But now they get Strasburg back. And I was saying for the last couple of weeks, I think that Strasburg being out was just as hurtful to that team as Bryce hitting 215. So now you get him back. They play a huge series against the Braves coming up this weekend. It looks like he's going to start on Friday, and then Max will pitch Sunday. You know, I know there's still a ton of games left, but this is as big a series as they've played so far, this three-gamer coming
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt, especially with Strasburg coming back. And I agree with you 103% about the Strasburg thing. Because, you know, Harper's hasn't really been hitting since, like, mid-August, or mid-April, rather. I mean, he's had some home runs, but striking out a ton. That's been going on for a long time. And to the extent that Strasburg was healthy, they were doing fine with it, right? Through May, they were great because the starting rotation was great and they had Strasburg. So I agree with you that Strasburg coming back is as big, if not bigger. I think it's bigger. Like, if Harper continues to hit like he did in the first half, but Strasburg is healthy, mm-hmm. I think the Nats will be okay. You still need Murphy and you still need some other things to happen. But everyone's going to be really curious, myself included, to see what he looks like on Friday, especially against the Braves, because, as you mentioned, the Braves, I mean, they've let up a little bit. The Phillies have started, you know, have leapfrogged them, but both those teams have looked real strong. So a healthy Strasburg will go a long way towards getting them back in the thick of it.
So we've got Mike Rizzo joining us at 9, and what Mike Rizzo won't tell us is who they're targeting for a potential trade. There are some names out there. Can you tell us who they're at least sniffing around, looking at?
So I think they could certainly use help in the catcher department, but poor Wilson Ramos, right? Ramos is one of the names that you keep hearing, along with JT Realmuto from Miami, both having great years, but Ramos gets dinged up right before the All-Star break. I think he had, what was it, a hamstring maybe? So I'm not, it remains to be seen how that will affect his trade value. I think it would certainly be cool for Washington fans if he came back to D.C., if he were healthy. He got a huge, both he and Blake Treinen got pretty huge ovations from the crowd this weekend coming back to D.C. But Wieters is healthy again, so we don't know exactly how he's going to perform. But even if Wieters is healthy, wouldn't hurt to have either of those guys to compliment him at the catcher position. And then, you know, with the rotation, hard to say, because we have to see what the deal is with Strasburg, right? If Strasburg is healthy, Roark and Gio suddenly snap back into it, which it's hard to say that was correlated to Strasburg, but it's hard to think it wasn't, right? Like, in the same way that offensive guys start pressing when someone's hurt or not hitting, I think you do get that in the rotation a little bit. And so if those guys come back to form, Strauss is healthy, Max is Max, and Hellickson's actually been really good for the most part this year, all of a sudden your rotation's fine. So if you're Rizzo, you want to be careful there. You don't want to pay for something that you don't need. And then there's the bullpen, which is a little shakier than people thought it was going to be. Herrera's been okay, but not great. Doolittle's been fantastic. Hasn't walked a guy in 3 months, which is crazy. But he's got the toe thing now, which doesn't seem serious. And then Madsen hasn't been the Madsen of last year. So you could argue that the bullpen is the one place that they need more help than anywhere else, which is bizarre. Because coming into the season, people are like, oh, bullpen for once is set. So
could you see them making a move for a starter and moving Tanner to the pen as a like a long guy? Is that a possibility?
I would think so.
Sure. I could see that happening. Poor Tanner Roark. He's like Stretch Armstrong. They just keep taxing him, doing whatever they need him to do.
Well, I mean, if you can't rely on him, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, no. I get it. I see that happening. But we don't, you know, I'm not sure how much that solves anything because the way he's been pitching. Although he's been very dependable over the last 2 years, he's had his spells of what he's been a little weaker. But even if he goes to the bullpen and is a long man, I don't know how much value that adds if he's pitching the way he's been pitching. You could just as easily use some other long guy. But either way, yeah, you would still
get him out of the rotation. That adds value.
Joined by Eddie Batts, ESPN senior baseball writer. What was the outsider's view on how DC did as a host for the All-Star game, first time it was here since 1969.
Yeah, I think they acquitted themselves pretty well. The crowd was certainly into it, showed up strong logistically. You know, I heard some grumblings of some things around the stadium. I was one of the dorks standing in the Shake Shack line at some point last night.
Right.
Because normally they have food at the press box for us, but for playoffs and All-Star game, it doesn't work that way. They don't have food. But they give you MLB, I think, these sponsors, they give you like the e-cash thing where you can go get food from the park. And so I'm all about Shake Shack in that situation. And people were grumbling about how there were empty registers or iPads, whatever you want to call them. Like not all of them were manned. And I just stood in line for quite a long time. It was like 30, 40 minutes. So I heard some fans grumbling about that. But other than that, I think they acquitted themselves well. They seemed to have the traffic flow around the stadium worked well. But I'm not the common fan, right? I didn't have to take the Metro home or anything like that. So hard for me to. On the one hand, I'm kind of an outsider, but not really, right?
Yeah.
You don't make anything of Bryce's kind of love fest with DC this past couple of days, and love fest with Davey Martinez, do you?
I think it was great for Bryce. It was great for DC. It was awesome to see him smile.
Yeah.
On Monday on Home Run Derby night, it was like, there's Bryce Harper. That's the guy right there. That's the guy we've been waiting to come back, make baseball fun again. But it doesn't really seem to have been fun over these last 2 years. And it's hard to know how much of that on Monday was a put on and how much of that was legit. But it seemed like he was really having a lot of fun. And I fully buy into the Derby could fix Bryce theory. Like, I'm all in on that train. Although, yeah, I mean, look, he didn't have anything. The guys who skip the Derby, they do it because they have everything to lose, nothing to gain. After that first half, Bryce really did not have much to lose. He had everything to gain by doing the Derby. So it's kind of the opposite. So in the same way that everyone feels like the Derby could break you, I feel like part of Bryce's thinking, even though he didn't say this, was maybe the Derby fixes it.
Can't hurt.
Yeah, no, but then, of course, last night he whiffed twice, but everyone whiffed last night. It's the All-Star game, and these dudes are bringing filth. So I thought it was interesting. Last night after the game, Bryce did not talk. We saw him come out of the clubhouse.
Oh, really?
Dressed at the nines. Looked fantastic. Had, like, some American flag loafer slippers on.
Right.
Like, red velour slippers, the little flag insignias. But his whole family was waiting there for him, so you can't blame him for wanting to get out of there and hang with his clan. But given that he had kind of owned that moment on Monday and was one of the ambassadors for the All-Star game, I would have expected him to talk post-game. But that I know of, it didn't happen.
He was mic'd up during the game. I found him more likable after the last 2 days, from the Home Run Derby to being mic'd up during one of the innings, talking to Buck during the broadcast. He scored points that way. But I do think there's the huge portion of the fans here who are bracing for heartbreak and bracing for him to leave.
Yeah, yeah, but no doubt, I agree with you. He was super likable these last couple of days, which I think was huge for him. Another thing I was asking fans around the park, because I was kind of on the fan beat on Monday. I watched the derby from right center where he was hitting all the bombs. And I was asking people how they felt about Bryce, because I kind of lose perspective of what the common fan thinks about Bryce. And pretty unanimous, unanimously, they were all like, "Yeah, we want Bryce here. We want him to stay, despite the season he's having and the ups and downs. We would love for him to remain a National."
Hey, real quick before we let you go, I didn't know this, but apparently attendance is down about 7%. Across the board. I think 21 out of the 30 teams are down from last year. And, you know, I know we've been talking about it. The games, you know, they did cut down the time. I think the games are about 6 minutes quicker, although I don't think that's a big deal. But, you know, the shifts and, you know, it's a bunch of strikeouts and there's not a lot of action. What do you think that Manfred and the boys are going to do about this? Is there anything that's imminent that they can try and try and get these fans back? Because I think they are worried about it.
Yeah, they have to be. All those factors you mentioned are factors, but in my opinion, the biggest factor is the teams that aren't competitive and that aren't competitive consciously going into the season, right? Like, right. Look, all these teams, I don't want to call it tanking because it's not necessarily tanking, but you've got so many non-competitive teams, and even the good ones in the American League, the races are over. There's like one wild card slot is up for grabs. So half the league, it's decided, and then the other half of the National League, you got a bunch of crappy teams. So I think that's the biggest reason that attendance is down. I'm not sure that what, if anything, MLB can do about that, because how do you stop a team from doing what the Astros did a few years ago and building a contender? Like, it's a great plan, and teams want to follow it. I would follow it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you stop that. The shifts and things like that, that's controllable. But if we're down 7%, I would guess that most of that is the non-competitive thing.
Good point. Yeah, you're probably right.
All right, Teddy Matz, thanks a lot for joining us as always.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good
one. Thanks, everybody. Check out his work on ESPN.com. Come and join us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotline. As he does every Wednesday, it's Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations, GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, Unexpectedly Different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Did you have fun couple days?
Man, what a week.
It was a great week. I'm a little hoarse right now from screaming at that home run derby, but it was an awesome event. DC should be proud. The Lerner family should be proud. It was a wonderful spectacle that we put on here in Washington, D.C.
Right. So, like, what was kind of – walk us through your role. Like, you're the host GM here, you know, hosting this whole thing. What kind of responsibilities did you feel like you had?
Just no official responsibilities, just doing a lot of, socializing and, handshakes and that type of thing. Just showing my appreciation to the different groups and that type of thing. Of course, it's a big booster time, season ticket plan holders and that type of thing. And
right.
We have to show our how much they mean to us. And so it's a really good social event. And, you're busy doing that. But, it's a labor of love because DC's been special to me, and it really shined this week. We dedicated a bunch of fields for kids. The Harper dedication out in Herndon was great, and then you tack on that beautiful home run derby and a great game, and the hot summer weather, and the weather cooperated enough for us. A little bit of rain there, but it didn't put a damper on the game at all.
Mike, I thought a really cool moment in the home run derby, obviously aside from Bryce winning it in front of the home fans, was just how excited Doolittle and Scherzer were for him to win it. You saw pictures of them on the field. You saw them running the trophy over to him. I'm sure that wasn't the plan. I'm sure, like, T-Mobile, somebody wanted to present him with the trophy, but Max and Doolittle took care of that. I thought it was cool that the teammates really participated in Bryce's moment as well.
It really was. They were all fired up about it, and you saw Davey was fired up. They were all there, and they don't have to be there. They're not obligated to be there. They wanted to be there for Harp and for the DC fans. And what a wonderful ending to a great competitive home run derby.
You know, something that struck me, Mike. Bryce obviously said in spring training he was not going to talk about the contract at all. He told the media that. He says, I'm not going to talk about it. Whatever happens, happens, but we'll decide that at the end of the season. But he did this week, and I get it. I mean, he was asked a billion questions, but he did talk about it, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I think that, at this venue, when there's so many national media and there's so many local media, and it's the topic of the day. So I think he felt that he was obligated to the fan base to at least address it when asked. So I thought he asked it honestly and from his heart. And, I thought he handled the situation very well through the season and including this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think he's handled it well, and I think for what it's worth, I mean, you know him, so you know the kind of person he is, but the fans don't. I thought he opened himself up a little bit, and we thought it came off really, really well.
He looked happy.
He looked happy. He had a blast. Obviously, doing so well in the Derby helps him. Is that the kind of thing? I mean, obviously, Bryce knows how to play baseball. But a lot of this is confidence, I feel like. And when you have a nice weekend like that or, a couple days like that, can that carry over into the regular season at all?
Well, I think that, the energy level and the the exuberance that he showed in the Derby, then you couple that with two real days off for him and the rest of our All-Stars. I think guys will be energized and their batteries will be, re-energized. And I think it'll have a positive impact for not only Hart, but for the whole team.
And you're in the middle. This is a huge series you got coming up. I mean, this is massive, right? I mean, you could really turn the tables on this thing or go the other way.
Yeah, it's, the big, we put ourselves in a position that every game we play is big. But to play the division rivals that are directly ahead of you, we've got a bunch of games with both Philly and Atlanta, and we're looking forward to that. So I think that whenever you could take matters into your own hands and whittle off games by playing the teams directly in front of you are very, very important games. And but like I said, we put ourselves in a position that every game we play is important, no matter who we're playing. And I often say it's not who you play, it's when you play them, who's hot when you play them, and. We need to get hot and go on a little run here and beat the teams that are in the standings ahead of us. And we got an opportunity this weekend.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations, GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse. All right, so let's talk about Strasburg. Stras is going to be back, coming off the DL on Friday. How did he look in his rehab appearances, and what should we expect?
He was pain free, and the ball came out of his hand well. His velocity was where it was supposed to be. His stuff was there. So, healthy Stras is all I'm looking for, because when he's healthy, he's as good as anybody, and can't wait to get him back on the team and get in the rotation. I think that'll be a huge kickstart for us, because our rotation has been scuffling without him. And I think that he'll be a huge asset to us going down the stretch. And all we ask for him to be is Steven Strasburg, and that's plenty good for anybody.
All right, so let's get to Ryan Zimmerman. A couple things. The story of Ryan Zimmerman, at least from some media sources, has changed as to what he was doing in spring training, and maybe you can address that. Mm-hmm. And then some talk about, well, maybe he had this injury and the Nationals weren't talking about it. Can you kind of fill us in and then tell us what to expect in terms of Ryan's role in the lineup? Because Matt Adams has been so good. Mark Reynolds has contributed. It's almost like, where's he going to get his at-bats?
Well, he's going to get his at-bats at first base because he's an impact player and a guy who's carried us for months at a time when he was healthy in the past. So he'll play first base for us. It'll give us an opportunity to get Adams in there against some right-handed starters and come off the bench against right-handed relievers and have a bench of a Reynolds and Adams and Zimmerman all available to hit the long ball for us is an extremely valuable asset for us to have down the stretch. And as far as the injuries go, Zim says his injury is the oblique. I believe Zim, and he's never backed off from that since spring training. What I will say is that the reason that Zim took most of his at bats on the minor league side and on the major league side is not because that he had an injury that we're not disclosing. We chose to do spring training for Zim in that way because we wanted to control the atmosphere of the way he was participating in spring training. We wanted to get his at-bats, to allow him to move around and run as he felt comfortable doing, so he wouldn't injure any part of his body during spring training. So that was what that was all about in spring training. So I hope that clears it up. I don't know where the story came from, but you know, Zim tells me that he feels good. I believe him.
And, so it wasn't the start of a trend, because it was almost portrayed that, hey, we're going to try this and maybe other guys down the road will do this. So if guys are completely healthy, let's say, and there's no injury mm-hmm. situation, they would be taking the major league spring training at bats and not doing what Ryan Zimmerman did this past spring training.
The only reason we would put someone in this similar situation as him is if we felt that we wanted to control the entire atmosphere of the game, meaning the explosion out of the box, you know, the running aspect of it, and that type of thing. And that was the reason we did it for Zim. But you know, players that are healthy, major league players that are healthy, will get their at bats at the major league side, unless there's a reason for us to have some consideration to control every aspect of the game by putting them in the minor league side. Because, you know, you guys know, with the minor league side, you know, Zim or anybody else, they could lead off every inning if they want. They could, you know, if the ball goes in the gap, they could pull up at first base if they want. And we control the entire aspect of the game. So that's the reason that you put guys in on the minor league side and not in the big league side.
With all the glad handing that you did over the last few days, Mike, how much of that time did you still sneak in to work the phones, or maybe some guys were in town? You know, we're talking potential trade here as the deadline approaches.
Yeah, we're doing our work, and that never fails, and that's part of the business and part of the calendar at this time of the year. We're doing our due diligence, and you know, seeing what we need and what we're trying to do and what our plan is going for. So that's never changed. No matter where the game is, we're always active and you know, doing our work.
If we had to bet on Mike Rizzo pulling off a major move as the deadline approaches, would we be good to put our money on it or bet against it?
Well, you know, you guys should know by now that if you think I'm zigging, then you know I'm zagging. So that would be a difficult bet to make, because we, you know, there's many, many different directions that we could go in,
one of them.
Standing pat's one, adding is one, subtracting is one, add and subtract. We've done all of them in the past. We've done some of them at multiple occasions in the season, and you know, this season is no different than anywhere else. We're going to address our needs for 2018 and beyond, and try and put the best, strongest 25-man roster on the field for the remainder of the season.
It's a little bit more difficult to chase two teams than one, obviously. You guys feel like you can win this division. And if Machado goes to the Dodgers, I'm sure you're much happier than if he went to the Phillies. But do you feel five and a half is not an uncomfortable number, not with 60-plus games left. I mean, it's certainly doable. Do you feel a run coming? Do you feel like a 10 out of 12, you know, 8 out of 11, 9 out of 13? Do you feel that type of a run coming?
Well, you know, my philosophy, it hasn't changed. And, you know, you've heard me say this a million times. That guy in the middle of the mound dictates what run you're going to go on. And if you have a chance, if you put a guy in the mound that gives you a chance to win every day, then you have a chance to you know, rattle off a bunch of games in a row. I think with Strauss coming back and Hellickson back and pitching well, and Gio having a positive outing the other day, and hopefully Rourke getting on track, it gives us the opportunity to put a guy on the mound every fifth day that gives us a chance to win. And that's how you rattle off numbers and wins in a row and that type of thing. But the most important game is Friday, because that's our next game. And after Friday, the next game after that will be the most important game. You can't get too far ahead of yourself, no matter where you're at in the standings. And you have to win today's game. And when you win today's game and you focus on that pitch, that inning, that game, and then worry about the next game tomorrow, I think that's the way to put together a string of things. And the good thing is we play those two teams quite a few more times this season. So, you know, the onus will be with ourselves. We kind of control our own destiny if we play well. I really feel good about the you know, post All-Star game portion of the season, as I do every year. We have to finish strong, but let's not sugarcoat it. We got to play better baseball than we've been playing. We have not been playing baseball that's good enough to win the National League East championship. And we've got to play better baseball. And hopefully, as guys get their at-bats, like a Murph and a Eaton, and when Zim gets back, we can get a little synergy in the lineup and get a little rhythm in the lineup and have our starters go deep in the games like they did April and May and go on a 20-7 run like we did in May. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
Mike is signed with the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Did A-Rod's comments about Bryce Harper and his reputation within the game make your blood boil? That's from Adam in Clarendon.
You know, I really don't listen to what these prognosticators say about Harper or anybody else on my team. I like our guys. You know, the guys that I have on this team that we put on this team are here for a reason, because you know I have to live with the guys for 7 months, so there'll be no. As you've noticed, there's nobody with bad reputations and bad makeups in our clubhouse because they don't last too long, because I don't want them around. So I don't listen to what these guys say. I didn't take what A-Rod said with any disdain, because his opinion, never being around the team and not knowing Bryce Harper, has no weight on how I feel.
Hey, what'd you think of Blake Treinen making the All-Star team and Wilson Ramos, a couple of ex-Nats?
Love those. Blake Treinen is one of my favorite players, one of the nicest men I've ever been around. I couldn't be happier for all those guys. Vasquez, who was Felipe Rivera when we had him, and Wilson. It was good to see all of those guys. It's nice to see them have success, and I root for all of them unless they're playing us. But all good bunch of guys. Again, we don't bring in bad guys, and when they leave us, they usually succeed and are good players and good citizens elsewhere.
What? By the way, what's you have an update on Aaron Barrett? You know, he came back finally, right? I remember he got like a standing ovation when he made his first pitch back. He's been out for a couple of years. You know, how's he doing?
Yeah, the Bear is playing in our New York Penn League affiliate, just trying to get his feet wet and build arm strength. He's healthy right now and just trying to go through his paces. It was a horrific injury that he had after he rehabbed from the Tommy John when he broke his elbow. It's very, very baby steps getting him back to pitch in at elite level. So, hats off to him. He's one of the toughest guys you'll ever see, and looking forward to him continuing his progress and moving up that ladder till hopefully one day we see him here in D.C. again. Be a great day.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops, GM of the Washington Nationals. You know, a couple years ago, I remember talking to you about Tim Tebow. And you weren't high on his chances of being a prospect, and I'm sure you're probably still not high on him being a prospect. But he did make the minor league all-star team AA level. Now, he was only hitting .270 with 5 home runs, but a couple of us here are saying that's pretty damn successful. Are you surprised that he succeeded to that extent?
No question. I'm so proud that this guy has the fortitude to grind it out at the minor league level with all he's accomplished in his life. So I'm a huge Tebow fan. I've never seen him play baseball in my life, and I don't know if he's a prospect or not. But as far as what he brings to a ball club and a stadium, and just watching him from afar, with his leadership skills at University of Florida, and we're talking about one of the really great college football players of all time, and a guy who put his reputation on the line and could have been very, very much so embarrassed and wasn't afraid of all the people snickering behind his back and giving it a go. So you can't I can't say anything bad about the man who puts it out there and risks a lot of stuff when he doesn't have to and could live comfortably without it. So hats off to Tim Tebow. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, and he's dating Miss Universe too.
Yeah, solid. Very solid.
Could have a worse life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
See you, all right, Mike. Guys. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
Yep. All right.
Talk to you soon.
That's Mike Rizzo. R-I-Z-Z-O.
Yes, it is. That's Nationals, how you spell his name.
48-48. I think it's their worst start since 2011, or the worst record at the All-Star break. Jason came up with the top five list for Cakes as to things that Cakes actually hate.
Yeah,
LeVar Ball was on it. He might not be on it any longer. But we threw it out there that maybe somebody should have a rival account to EB Hates.
Mm-hmm.
And so now on Twitter, sure enough, there's Cakes _ Hates. And he's slowly but surely adding some things that we didn't think about.
Yeah.
He just added drivers over the age of 70.
Well, it's been well documented. I mean, everybody knows that.
@Cakes_Hates.
Let's go to
fantasy leagues with waiver wires.
Double hate.
Well, I mean, if you have waiver wires, again, they're the domain of the uninformed and lazy.
Okay. Can we go back and forth?
My personal opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because I'm on. Oh, okay.
I do hate them. You have your EB Hates.
Yeah. All right. Well,
now, how many followers does EB Hates have?
1,800.
All right, it's adding. Cakes is already up to 200 after nice. One day, less Very than 24 good. Hours.
I will retweet it. We'll try to get it out there.
Sweet.
So the pinned tweet is EB hates everything. All right. So then one from yesterday.
From Cakes. Cakes 12 hours ago. People who blare loud music from their cars.
People.
Hates a strong word for that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sure.
Okay, how about this? Dinner after 5:30.
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
We added
right
that.
In the wheelhouse.
All right, so absolutely. I have Floyd Mayweather. We both agree. Both agree on that.
Yes, correct.
Cakes _ hates Final Countdown by Europe.
Again, let me reiterate. Europe is a blight on the entire hair metal scene from the 80s into the early 90s.
It's the final.
I do not.
Asia, much better. Greater than sign.
Asia.
Asia, okay. Greater
Asia
than
sign. A billion times better than Europe.
I don't know where this guy gets a billion the pictures.
Times. I agree.
EB also hates windy golf. That's true.
Well, well, he hates golf like in general.
Oh, no, I love golf.
No, I'm saying Cakes.
Yeah.
I hate golf in general. He hates windy golf.
The guy doesn't have pictures of Cakes doing it. So he'll have like a picture, his GIF or whatever,
yeah,
of like a rando. I don't know why this makes me laugh because he just put Cakes hates watching baseball.
Yeah, he does, right?
And he just has a dude right by his side.
Again,
right.
He's dumb, deadly accurate with
it's
all.
It's brilliant. I don't know who does this. So that's the fake Cakes account.
Yeah,
Cakes _ hates. It made me laugh. And I think it's all about. We got to give it some run.
Being, I have this is good. death movies, strippers, being around a lot of people, unique low. And that's the
Adam Scott.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
How do you even say? Is it unique low? Is that how it's pronounced?
Unique I saw a store though. You know, in Rockville.
I thought it was unique.
Okay.
At Pike and Rose.
Q-N-I-Q-L-O, however you say it.
Have you been maybe over there to Pike and Rose where Pinstripes is and they have the
I was just in the Nike outlet at Pike and Rose yesterday.
I think they have Uniqlo. Store.
Do they?
Really?
I'm not buying their gear. I don't like it. I also don't like the Warriors brand of basketball. Correct. Kayaking. Correct. Flying on puddle jumpers. I'll never do it. Milk.
Milk
I can
silly.
Do milk with graham crackers and milk with cereal.
Or cereal, yeah.
Milk with cookies.
Spaghetti.
No, that's not really true.
Milk with spaghetti.
This is true. Silent buns. I don't get sized for silent buns.
Who does?
Silent buns?
When, means you're getting no sound from the other side.
Have you talked about that?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
When Matt Valdez plays the EP music right when the segment starts. Yeah. True. I don't like
he
that.
He does hate that.
unsalted saltines. They're the
well,
worst.
They should never even exist. I'm with you on that.
The word lame. That's true. I didn't like when the guy called me lame.
So these are the more recent entries. When I'd be curious.
JP tries to return a $60 pack and play at Walmart. Oh, yeah. Squeaker Court. That's true. Renting golf clubs, hate that.
I did
flying
not.
With your golf
By
clubs,
the way,
detest that.
Here's what I actually did.
Iguanas at his resort.
That other actually, guy was right. Everything.
I gave the pack and play and the receipt to family members, and it was their choice to return it for something. So the mother-in-law said, if you feel like doing this, go ahead. It's your money.
Well, yeah. But what's the big deal?
Yeah.
It's your money. You paid quicker. For it.
I also hate AWOD's body, yeah. Disney, the USGA. School's not teaching how to write in cursive. That's true.
Now, to be fair, yours has been around a long time, so there are a lot
this
of entries.
This is just since June.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the first three entries were. Can you go through Twitter? Is there some way to find
I think it would take
first...
forever to go down.
The list is long.
I think you'd have to go down.
You can't change
I might
the scrolling.
Have more things I hate than followers. Yeah, there's 2,400 tweets, only 1,800 followers. I don't know how you can get that to the beginning.
I hate that.
Scroll down.
That's so funny.
When the Nats mix up the pitching rotation. I don't know. Why. Where'd that come from? Asparagus pee. That's true. I don't like that. When people deuce next to you. Awful. City of Green Bay. Now, why would that come up?
You've never even been there.
I know. I don't think that's true. How he looks on NBC Sports Washington, that's true. Tiny nipples. All right. Sure.
Movies What's the context there?
That aren't courtroom dramas or spy thrillers. Women over 5 feet 10. That's true.
I love those.
MRIs.
I think I saw one of her nipples.
Neck rubs from men.
No, wait a second. Kicks,
Kicks loves it.
I just gave Valdez a neck rub yesterday.
By the way, this is there is an old account, Flakes Hates, which died, I guess, in 2016.
Oh, really?
The last Much like this one will probably die.
You only had 17 followers. You're already at 200 here.
Yeah.
You had preparing for the entertainment page. Wow. On there.
That's true. He does hate that. But that's rare that you have to do that.
Trust me, there's very little prep. I look at the top, top headline, I circle one
nugget. I can't even say this. Flakes Hates, which is at Cakes Hates without the underscore, has leaving poor maids more than $5.
Again, that goes back to the Morgana deal where I had $5 or $10 out.
I still can't believe you
did
that.
And I took $5 back as a ROM tax.
But I don't want to confuse things. It's Cakes underscore Hates.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.